الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته الخائلون ولا يحصي نعماه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون الذي بعدا فلا يرى وقربا فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين والشفي المذنبين سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم محمد ولأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا واللعنة الدائمة الباقية لأعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم وغاصب حقوقهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر. صلاة In our discussion about the history of Karbala, in reality the background to the history of Karbala, we started from the very beginning and we have identified the leaders of Islam we already know, but we have identified Banu Umayyah as the leaders of Kufr and Shirk, who were in the forefront of their opposition to the Prophet of Islam and the Quran in Mecca and even after the Hijrah of the Prophet to Medina. We reached to a stage where we saw that during the last years of the Prophet's life, Islam militarily gained upper hand over the Kuffar of Mecca, and the leader of the time, Abu Sufyan, surrendered to the power of Islam. I don't like to use the word accepted Islam. Rather, he surrendered in front of the power and might of the Muslim army. And then we saw that after the Prophet's wafat, soon after that, Banu Umayyah were successful in gaining control of the Syrian province, which was a border province. And I must add the words here, when we use the word Syria, in that historical time frame, it's not the Syria of the present day. When we use the word Sham, or in old Arabic books they use the word Shama, ruler, Syria. Sham means present day Syria, Lebanon, almost half of Jordan, and Palestine. All including was considered as Sham. Even if you go and study the documents of the Ottoman Empire, just before the First War, we are talking about the first decade of this century, I actually seen one of the documents on the modern Arab history. They have a photocopy of a communication of the American consulate in Jerusalem to the Foreign Office in Washington. And at the top of the letter there, the letterhead says, Consulate of the United States of America, Jerusalem, Syria. So even during the early years of this century, Jerusalem was considered to be part of what is known as Sham and Syria. So that whole province was given in the control of Banu Umayyah. First, Yazid bin Abu Sufyan was made the governor. And when he died, Muawiyah bin Abu Sufyan was made the governor. And then we see by the time of the third Khilafat, Uthman bin Affan comes to power, the third Khalifa, and he is a member of the Umayyad clan. He is the son of Abu Sufyan's cousin. So the relationship between Muawiyah and the third Khalifa is that they are cousin, second degree cousin. And with that Khilafat, the entire Muslim world came into the hand of the clan of Banu Umayyah. There is an interesting narration again from the Muslim historians themselves that after the death of the second Khalifa, during the early days of the Khilafat of Uthman bin Affan, Abu Sufyan, who had become an old man by that time, in a family gathering of the Umayyads, including the Khalifa of the time, he is addressing them. He is the eldest of all of them. He is old and blind. But he says, O children of Umayyah, now that the kingdom has come to you, play with it as the children play with a ball. Pass it from one to another of your clan. Look at the words kingdom. He doesn't say khilafat. He considers khilafat to be mulukiyat, a worldly secular institution. He says this kingdom is the reality, whereas we do not know whether there will be any paradise or hell. We are not sure about that. We are sure about what we have in our hands. So this is Abu Sufyan even in his old age. And this is the advice he is giving not only to the third Khalifa but to the entire clan of Banu Umayyah, that this is the reality which is in your hand. Play with it and do not let it go out of your hand. In the third Khilafat, Banu Umayyah gained absolute control of the Muslim world and the Ummah basically by two means. All significant positions of governorship and every important administrative position was given to one or another of the clan of Banu Umayyah. And I'll just give you two or three examples because we are just trying to go very fast through this phase of history. Abdullah bin Sa'ad bin Abi Sarah. He is a foster brother of the third Khalifa. He was made governor of Egypt. Now when we use the word Egypt, Egypt is basically the capital of the African part of the Muslim Empire and one of the most rich province of the Muslim Empire at that time. The biggest revenue coming to Baitul Mal used to come from Egypt. Abdullah bin Abi Sarah was made the governor there. And who is he? He was such a strong enemy of the Prophet that when Rasulullah gained the control over the city of Makkah without any bloodshed, and when he said, I'm prepared to forgive all people, there were four or five people whom he said that if you find any one of these, I want you to kill them, even if they are holding the cloth of the Kaaba. This was the feeling of the Prophet about those four or five people. And one of them was Abdullah bin Sa'ad bin Abi Sarah. The Prophet said, even if you find him holding the cover of the Kaaba, kill him. But then before the Muslims could reach him, his foster brother Uthman bin Affan reached him. And under his guarantee and protection, he brought to the Prophet, insisted greatly, did the sifarish, and the Prophet forgave him, means forgave in the sense that he changed that order, but he said, I don't want to see the face of this person ever again in my life. And he was exiled outside the city of Medina. He was forbidden to come to Medina because the Prophet didn't want to see the face of this person. Such a person is being given the position of the governor, the second highest position after the Khalifa in the Egyptian province. Another example is of Walid bin Uqba bin Abi Mu'id, a stepbrother of Uthman, the third Khalifa, a very cruel and sinful person. He is a person who actually has been named as the fasiq in the Quran. There are two ayahs where he has been mentioned as the fasiq. It has been applied on him. But he was made the governor of Kufa again. Kufa is the capital of the Iraqi province. And his character is such, it's very famous, you must have heard this before, that one night he was so much drunk, by the time of the Subah prayer when he went to the masjid, instead of two rakat, he recited four rakat. And then he turns around and he says, إِن شِئْتُمْ عَزِيدُكُمْ صَلَاتَيْنِ. He said, if you want to pray two more rakat, I'll add two more to this. And he was so drunk and intoxicated that some of the Ashab, including Abdullah bin Mas'ud, who was the treasurer of the Baytul Mal of Kufa, took out his ring without him knowing that. And that was the evidence they took to Medina. And so this is the kind of people who belonged to the clan of Banu Umayyah, but now they had been given the most sensitive and most reputable position in the Muslim world. I'm leaving the other details. There are many, many more examples. But against this nepotism and favoritism to the family, when it came to dealing with the members of the Sahaba of the Prophet who were prominent in the Muslim world, they were dealt with very harshly. When Abdullah bin Mas'ud, the treasurer of Baytul Mal in Kufa, resigned and protested against Walid and came back to Medina with the reports against Walid, he was actually rebuked and insulted in public. Abu Dharr Ghifari, the famous Sahabi of the Prophet, accepted by all Muslims, about whom the Prophet says, the earth has never carried a more true person, and the clouds have never put a shadow on a person, Asbaq, who is more true than Abu Dharr. These people were insulted, they were tortured, Abu Dharr was sent into exile just because he protested against the nepotism of the administration of Uthman bin Affan, and even in Syria he protested against Muawiyah. So he was sent to one of the deserts known as Rabza in Syria, and that is where he passed away. So we see these two different kinds of attitude of the third Khalifa, towards the clan of Banu Umayyah and towards the prominent Sahaba of the Prophet. Salawat. And so the Muslims tolerated for a few years. But when things became very serious, beyond the limit of any tolerance, they started to protest. They started to protest, especially the people in Kufa and the people in Egypt. And it's interesting that they started to send delegations from these two provinces to Medina to protest to Uthman about what his people were doing. The delegation of Egypt was told that, okay, we will send some instructions, things will become better for you. But when the delegation returned back, instead of improvement, they were called by the governor, they were insulted, they were threatened, and actually one of them was actually killed. And so after a few months, another delegation comes from Egypt. And when they gave the report to the people of Medina about what had happened to the first delegation, the entire city of Medina turned against the Khalifa, including Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha also turned against the Khalifa. The public pressure increased so much that Uthman openly declared that he is going to dismiss Abdullah bin Abi Salah from the position of governorship of Egypt. And instead, on the insistence of the Sahaba, he said, I'll appoint Muhammad bin Abu Bakr as the new governor. So Muhammad bin Abu Bakr was given the appointment letter, and with the company of the delegation of Egypt and many prominent Sahaba, they left Medina to go to Egypt. Just 3 days in their journey, they were resting in a place, the caravan, when they saw a horseman riding very fast from Medina, direction of Medina, going towards the direction of Egypt. So the people of Muhammad bin Abu Bakr went to him and said, where are you going? He said, well, I have a very important message for the governor of Egypt. They said, the governor of Egypt is with us. They said, no, not this one, that one, referring to Abdullah bin Abi Salah. He said, I am the messenger of the Khalifa, and I have an urgent message. But they forced him to come to Muhammad bin Abu Bakr. The letter was opened, which had the seal of Khalifa on it. And the letter was addressed to Abdullah bin Abi Salah, saying that when Muhammad bin Abu Bakr and so, when they reach you, the exact words are, فَقْتُلْهُمْ وَبْتِلْ كِتَابُهُمْ, kill them, and cancel the letter, destroy the letter that I have given for them. وَقِرْ عَلَىٰ عَمَلِكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيكَ رَأْيِ, and stay in your position as the governor until you receive further instructions from me. And this is from Al-Imam of Al-Siyasa, not a Shia book. With that letter in hand, Muhammad bin Abu Bakr and all the companions came back to Medina. And they confronted the Khalifa. that on one hand you are sending us with instructions, on the other hand you are sending someone else with this kind of messages. And there were demonstrations and slogans. And just to summarize the whole event, people of Medina turned against the Khalifa, and Ali was made their spokesman. This was the first time in the history that we see that the Shias of Ali and the oppressed people of the Muslim world came together in the common cause. Not that all of them were Shia of Ali, but they realized finally, after 24 years, that if the only person who can deliver any sense of justice to them is none other than Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salam. Imam tried to negotiate a peaceful deal between the Khalifa and the people. However, he was put under pressure by the people, and when he would go and talk to the Khalifa would blame him, that you are the one who is doing all the things. But Imam handled the situation very patiently, because Imam was of the opinion that if anything is to be done, it should not be done as long as this person carries the title of Khilafah. Because Imam believed that the institution of Khilafah itself has a sanctity. And if the masses come and kill the person who is carrying that title, although wrongfully, and not in a legitimate manner, still the sanctity and taqaddus of the institution of Khilafah would be destroyed. So Imam wanted things to be handled in a different way. However, they put the house of Khalifa under the siege, the people, for about 49 days. They were refusing anyone to take water or food to the house of the Khalifa. And interestingly, at that time, the people who took food and water to the house of Osman bin Affan were under the instructions of Ali bin Abi Talib, and it was done by Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wa salam. This is very important, because in Karbala, the Umayyads and the Yazidis used to say, we are taking revenge of what happened to Osman, not realizing that people of Medina stopped water from Osman. It was Hussein, which is brother, who took water for him, on the instructions of Ali bin Abi Talib. Eventually, one day they attacked the house and killed the Khalifa, and what happened after that, to him, I do not want to discuss anymore here. But one more important thing before we move on, and we'll discuss the Khilafat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, inshallah, tomorrow night, that while all this was happening in Medina, the cousin, the second cousin of Osman, Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan, the governor of Syria, who had a powerful army under his control, did not come to help his cousin. Actually, he sent an army which camped outside Medina, did not enter Medina, did nothing and just returned back. And this shows that in the eyes of Muawiyah, Osman was actually now dispensable. He didn't need him. Rather, a dead Osman, especially an Osman killed by the people, was more useful as an excuse for Muawiyah than a living Osman. And so he decided to let things happen the way they were happening, did not intervene to help his own cousin in any way. And this shows his own cunning nature of the worldly politics of Muawiyah bin Abu Sufyan. And the role of Imam Ali there has been accepted even by those who are close to Osman, that Imam was really fair in that situation and handled that situation with as much justice as was possible under those difficult times and difficult circumstances. Salawat upon you. Inshallah, tomorrow night we'll discuss the Khilafat of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam briefly, and then carry on and see what happens to the situation until finally we reach to the events of Karbala itself. Salawat upon you.